The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun. Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Hey, thanks for hanging in there while we did some rebroadcasts so I could basically get through this thing called life and also do some traveling. I just got back from Atlanta where I went to Sex Down South. And I want to remind you that this is my favorite event of the year. And it did not disappoint this year. It was only its second year, but it was an incredible group of people. I heard fabulous presentations. I met a ton of people. Hopefully, I can have all of them on my show coming up by the end of this year. The women from Afrosexology, Sunny Megatron and Ken Melvoin-Berg, and then the two creators behind the hashtag Black Men Smile. God, I just saw such fantastic presentations, and I can't wait to introduce you to these folks who are just really incredible. Today, we are going to talk about a California proposition that everyone is going to vote on in November. The title of Proposition 60 sounds pretty straightforward. It's called the California Safer Sex in the Adult Film Industry Act. And for people who just read the titles of these propositions, you may think, oh, I think I'm for that, safer sex in the adult industry. But actually, this proposition is a lot more complicated than that name lets on. And in fact, hundreds of individuals and organizations have endorsed no on Prop 60 and are encouraging everyone to vote no on Prop 60, including the LA Times, the California Democratic Party, California Federation of Republican Women, the Bay Area Reporter, AIDS Project LA, the Woodhull Freedom Foundation, Sex Workers Outreach Project USA, Transgender Law Center, Equality California, and the Los Angeles LGBT Center, among many, many others. And because we have such a huge listenership in California and Election Day is just around the corner, I really felt like this was an important issue and a place where all of us can make our voices heard. So I've got two guests to tell you about tonight who are part of the fight for no on Prop 60. First, I've got Eric Paul Loya, who is the No on Proposition 60 campaign manager and executive director of the Adult Industry Trade Association Free Speech Coalition. Eric is a longstanding HIV and LGBTQI rights advocate and one of the appointed HIV commissioners for LA County. He's working tirelessly right now on California Proposition 60, and he has plenty to tell us about. Ella Darling is the world's first virtual reality cam girl and a pioneer of virtual reality in the adult industry. As the co-founder and face of VRTube.xxx, Ella joined forces with Cam4 to bring VR live cams to a global scale, empowering performers to monetize across a new medium. Since earning her master's degree at the age of 21 and transitioning from a career as a reference librarian, Ella has spent the last 7 years as a feminist, porn star, and political activist. She is the president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee and is on the committee for the Performer Availability Scheduling Service. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Eric and Ella.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Eric, I want to start with you, and I want you to give us an introduction about, like I said, this title of Prop 60 seems like well-meaning people might be like, yeah, I think I'm for that. But what does Prop 60 actually say?
So I think, as with many laws, sometimes they seem to have titles that sound really compelling and great, but then we get to the fine print, and that's where the devil lives. As many of the major newspapers, or rather all of the major newspapers in California, have pointed out in their editorial board recommendations to vote no. Proposition 60 will create a unique and new way of how residents of the state of California can directly sue a worker for how they do their job, which you can imagine is a terrifying precedent for any industry, but particularly for the adult industry, when we're looking at workers who have overzealous fans and workers that are really open and straight up about their gender identity and sexuality. There's a lot of people that don't necessarily always agree with what we do. So just the threat of these lawsuits exposing legal names and home addresses of our workers is frightening, and that's basically what's built into the proposition. On top of which, anybody who files a lawsuit that ends up in fines, they receive 25% of those fines. So not only do we have harassment written into the law here, but we have incentivized harassment written into the law. And I think that pretty much sums up the most terrifying parts.
Right. So it's not just about requiring condoms in porn. I want people to realize that. I need to restate that. It's not just about requiring condoms in porn. It is also about the fact that anyone in the state of California can sue anyone involved in the production of a film where they don't see a condom. And like you said, that opens things up to not only harassment and certainly people being homophobic and transphobic and sex worker phobic, but there's this sort of bribe built into it, which is that if you file a lawsuit, you basically get paid.
Yep.
Which is a real problem. And so I got in the mail my official sample ballot for the general election. And this is my very first year that I'm voting in California, because I moved here last year. And, you know, they do these like summaries of, I guess, what's going to be on the ballot, like what I'm going to see on the ballot. And there's like a summary. And the summary is really a problem to me. It says, requires adult film performers to use condoms during the filming of sexual intercourse. Requires producers to pay for performer vaccinations, testing, and medical examinations. Requires producers to post condom requirement on film sites. That's the summary in this book that I think every single voter is getting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what's really frightening about that is obviously what we see here is a great example for how a special interest group spends $5 million to mislead voters, because that's really how that summary was created and put on there, and that's certainly frightening. But we have to understand that Prop 60 is not about safer sex. It's not about condom use. It's really about harassment.
And Ella, as a performer, why are you against Prop 60?
Well, for many of the reasons that Eric laid out, it opens us up to harassment. It purports to protect us. There's a line in the proposition that claims to exclude performers from litigation. But because the people who wrote this initiative don't understand how our industry works, it actually kind of just throws us to the wolves. They don't understand that the reality of a performer's career is that we have to be a lot more industrious than they think we are. We don't just show up to set, shoot, go home, and cash a check. We are producers ourselves. Mm-hmm. We webcam. We do trade content. We have websites and clip stores. We sell DVDs at conventions. We use affiliate codes to sell our scenes that we perform in. And all of those things would make us, it would give us a financial stake in the production, which would make us liable for harassment and lawsuits from people who either love us or hate us to an absurd degree and want to have that day in court with us to gain access to our personal information and gain access to our lives. I don't know a single adult performer who hasn't experienced harassment and threats from people online that are alarming in how violent and graphic they can be. I have people who threaten to kill me and rape me and slit my throat and kill my dog. And that's just from people who watch my porn and either really like it or really hate it. I have a man in my life. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know his name. But I do know that he was able to find my legal name and use that to find my mother's work phone number, and he harasses her at work. So this is something that someone is already doing to me in my personal life with just access to my legal name. Imagine what that man would do if he could find my home address.
Wow. Wow. That is all. I'm sorry that that's happening. That's awful. That's really awful.
And that's the thing. This, I mean, in this case, it's my mother, but for some of these performers, like, people have children, and the children of performers and producers could be just as much at risk here.
Could be targeted. Yeah.
Yeah, they would be targeted, and it disrupts families. It disrupts lives.
Okay, so this is a good introduction, folks. We've got to take our first commercial break. I want to remind my listeners that you can call us anytime. We have a 24-hour voicemail line. You can leave questions and comments. We have some really good ones that we're going to be featuring on future shows. The number is 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Coming up next, we are going to continue to talk about Prop 60 and find out how this legislation was crafted and the man behind the crusade to make this happen. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we're talking about the dangers of California Proposition 60 and what it might mean for the adult industry. And we're talking with Eric Paul Loya, who is the executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, and Ella Darling, who is the president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. So one of the things that you said, Ella, before the break is about how the people who wrote this legislation don't understand how the adult industry works. And in fact, it goes a little bit deeper than that, which is that no performers had any input at any stage of the process in writing this legislation. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. We have tried as an industry and as an organization to have a conversation with Michael Weinstein. We've given him ample opportunity to discuss what the working lives of adult performers are actually like so that we can work on creating protocols that make sense and so that we can explain to him why the things that he's doing are actually very harmful to us. And he refuses to listen to the voices of the people he claims to support. He insists on speaking for us, but not speaking to us. AIPAC called a press conference back in June and invited him to come and sit down at the table with us and talk to us, and he didn't show up. We just had a huge protest with over 100 people outside of the AHF office this week. And once again, Weinstein was nowhere to be found. He would not meet with us. He would not listen to us. We came to his front door and he would not show his face. The closest that I've gotten to having any kind of conversation with him is he had a press conference, I believe it was earlier this year, where he invited people to call in. So I called in and he repeatedly tried to cut me off and hang up on me because he did not want my voice to be heard. He wants to silence us. He wants to impose his ideas onto us, but he does not care about what the actual laborers are concerned about.
Which seems like, you know, labor 101. What do the workers need? Ask the workers what will make their jobs safer and better and more fair. Let's talk, Eric, about Michael Weinstein and the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, because I think this is another piece of the puzzle that the average citizen may not know. When you hear AIDS Healthcare Foundation, you think, oh, it's a AIDS nonprofit that helps people with HIV and AIDS. I'm for that. That guy must be a good guy because he heads it. So let's get some background on the person who set all of this in motion.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Weinstein started out in the 80s, which was obviously a really tough and crucial time. And what he started out with on his HIV AIDS activism is that he created a hospice in LA County together with a few other folks, in order to give people dignity that were suffering from HIV and AIDS, because nobody in the general healthcare system cared very much or wanted to engage with those people, because obviously they were, you know, there was something so wrong with them that they were being punished with this thing that nobody else got. But over the time, Michael Weinstein really somewhat, many say, lost his way. So many of you on the radio will be very self-aware in regards to newer sexual health prevention options. And Michael Weinstein is the only one, and his organization are the only ones that are speaking out against pre-exposure prophylaxis, or short PrEP, which is a daily medication you can take to prevent HIV. And they've invested so much money into it, and it's really disheartening. And when we look at the adult industry, they've been going at it for over 7 years, yet over those 7 years, again, I'll reiterate what Ella has said, they refuse to talk to us. They believe that they're better, they believe that they know better, and they believe that they don't need to talk to the actual workers that are out there. I myself was on a billboard campaign for AIDS Healthcare Foundation just around the time that Michael Weinstein came out and said pre-exposure prophylaxis is a party drug, which offers the question, is, are condoms party balloons? Where are we going with this? That's not how we do sexual health. And that's really where a lot of these paths that, you know, we share in regards to HIV advocacy and testing advocacy and all of that, that I share with Michael Weinstein, that's where our paths really split. And when we look at Prop 60 or other regulatory efforts that are trying to be imposed by AIDS Healthcare Foundation onto the adult industry, I think it's really important that we understand that far more amazing organizations such as the LA LGBT Center, San Francisco AIDS Foundation, AIDS Project Los Angeles, the Transgender Law Center, Wallace Memorias Project, they're all actively opposed to Proposition 60, just like Equality California is actively opposed to it. So we see that the advocacy world here is really splitting, and AIDS Healthcare Foundation stands fully and solely alone on supporting Proposition 60. They're also the only ones that are funding it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the funding, because I think one of the things that's clear, at least if you live in LA, it's clear, is they have a lot more money than you guys do. They have commercials, they have billboards. But is all this money, like, is some of this money meant for the AIDS Healthcare Foundation? Like, isn't it supposed to be going to help people with HIV and AIDS?
All of it is. And that's the really sad and frightening thing. So what Michael Weinstein is doing is he's diverting $5 million that should be used to better and support the lives and health being, you know, the well-being of people living with and affected by HIV. He's using that money instead of giving it to the people in need. He's spending it on his own personal vendetta against the adult industry.
And then to follow the money even further, won't this legislation also create a government job for Michael Weinstein?
Yes, it will. So what it'll do, should the legislation pass, and good news are we're currently on a 40% yes, 40% no, 20% undecided voter poll that was just released this morning. But should it pass, obviously the adult industry is not going to let our workers and our performers be harassed this way. So what we would do is we would file a lawsuit. Now, the Attorney General is unlikely to defend Proposition 60, just like we didn't defend Prop 8. And what will then happen is if the Attorney General refuses to defend Prop 60, then Michael Weinstein gets sworn into office and basically gets all of his expenses that he would incur in defending Proposition 60 reimbursed directly by the taxpayer.
Wow. And then he would become like what? What's this job that he was going to get? He's going to oversee this whole thing or what?
So he would, the Mercury News called him that he would become the porn czar of California. And that's probably quite the reasonable title. But he would basically be a private attorney general and could only be removed under good cause and with a majority vote of the Senate and the Assembly of California, which is generally a process that's reserved to constitutional officers. So it's a very high threshold to remove him from the state-paid employment, so to speak. And it's frightening because he'll have unlimited resources to fight against the voices of the adult industry workers. And I mean, Ella is best to talk about this. I don't like to talk for the performers. I think it's really important to talk with the performers. And Ella will, you know, I think Ella can say how frightening that is.
It is incredibly frightening. We have a change.org petition. We've got over 1,200 people on board who have signed this petition opposing Prop 60 and asking him to step down, basically. How much money... How many hours of police and firefighter time, how many textbooks, how many improved roadways are we as Californians willing to sacrifice to give Michael Weinstein this cushy position where he gets to travel the state crashing in on porn sets to inspect porn stars' genitals? He's going to be spending so much taxpayer money and losing tax money from the people who are going to flee the state as a result for the sake of policing a population of just 1,000 or 2,000 people.
And my other question, Eric, is I've always wondered this and I've never asked anyone. Because he's against PrEP, and it's like, I don't know anyone currently working in HIV prevention and advocacy that's against PrEP. Because he's against PrEP, does he have some financial incentive or stake with these large condom companies?
It's a very good question. My grandma always said, never assume. So I just want. I honestly believe that Michael Weinstein is so vehemently stuck on what he has preached for over 30 years, which is condoms, 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 mm-hmm. that he's not willing to accept the fact that even though we've had condoms for 35 years, we still have 50,000 new HIV infections in the general public per year. And to dismiss that fact and to continue to preach the same thing is really frightening. When we look at the adult industry, the performers are the ones that built the testing protocols that have prevented any HIV onset transmission for over 12 years. So who is the expert here is what I ask. And I think Ella would say the performers.
And so let's talk about the performers who have actually campaigned for Weinstein. What are they saying that they did get HIV on a set, or are they not saying it that specifically?
They are they're being very dishonest about the way that they contracted HIV. And HIV is a life-changing diagnosis. And I feel for them. They are people who are in a very troubling position in life, and I can't fault them for the emotions that they feel. But to dishonestly portray the events that occurred in order to garner voters to vote against the will of an entire industry is really harmful. There was just an article published, I think, in the Hollywood Reporter, actually directly addressing this, addressing Derek Burtz and Cameron Bay and the claims that they make. And Cameron Bay's story is that she was on a set and her male performer partner, his genitals were bleeding. And it's a very harrowing story. Like, she shortly afterwards was diagnosed with HIV. But if you look at the people that they actually worked with, if you follow the paper trail here, none of the people they worked with are HIV positive. And you cannot contract HIV from someone who is HIV negative. The people who they were working with are still active performers who to this day test negative. And I've worked with and seen the test of the person that she claims to have contracted HIV from, and it's simply not true.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. It's like they want to say that they're saying that they got it in the industry, right? But there's no actual proof of that, is what you're saying.
Well, there's a very clever semantic way of saying this in that, oh, I contracted HIV while I was working in the porn industry. The same can be said if you contract HIV while you're a bus driver or you're a barista. That doesn't mean that you contracted HIV from making coffee or driving a bus. It just means that during while you happen to be working this job, during that time in your life is when the transmission occurred.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we've got to take our next break. I think people need to know that too, because people always ask me, what about these two people who got HIV on a set? And I'm always like, that's not what happened, right? And they also had a relationship, which I think not everyone knows, right? Is that the two of them are not like two random people who like slept with the same third person, that they actually had a sexual relationship themselves. Okay, let us take another break. And I hope you guys are getting all the background you need to vote no on Prop 60, all you Californians. I want to dig a little bit deeper into these issues and talk about safer sex in porn. So don't go anywhere. More with Eric and Ella when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am talking with the executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, Eric Paul Loya, and the president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee, Ella Darling. We've been talking about California Proposition 60 and how it looks on the surface like it's going to help sex workers, but it's actually going to harm them. So, Ella, I'm wondering if you'll give me an overview of what the steps people do take to make this work safer and why people feel safe without using condoms on sets.
So we have, about 12 years ago, the adult industry implemented testing protocol to protect the performer population. And since it was introduced, it's only gotten more and more stringent. Currently, we test every 14 days for HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, hep B, hep C, and trichomoniasis. And as a result, we have not had one single HIV transmission on a set that follows this protocol in 12 years. There's some misconceptions that people have about testing. I was just having a conversation with someone on Facebook today who didn't understand why this was actually effective, because there's this common idea that HIV tests have this 6-month window period, and if you contracted HIV in the past 6 months, it might not show up on your test. That test, which is commonly available for free at clinics, is called the ELISA test. The ELISA test tests for the antibodies that your body creates in response to HIV. And it takes a while to have a detectable level of antibodies. And that's why it's got such a long window period. That's not what we use. We use the Aptima HIV RNA test. This has a window period of 12 to 14 days, I think. Eric, you can correct me if I'm off on that.
It's actually even better. It's 7 to 10.
7 to 10. There we go. So a 7 to 10 day window period. Because what it's testing for is the actual RNA of the virus. And so given that we test every 14 days, we catch HIV before it can be spread in our population. We didn't just come up with this on our own. We as the performers did come together and have a voice. And there's an entire committee that is dedicated to evaluating testing protocol and finding new ways to improve it. But we didn't just come up with this on our own. We have a team of medical professionals and infectious disease specialists who advise us on this, who were involved in this process. And one of the infectious disease specialists that we work with explained a little bit about why, there's this idea that, like, well, if someone contracts HIV the day after they test, then what are they spreading it to the population at that point? And the answer is no, because the viral load, your body's viral load for the first, 15 to 17 days, Eric?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Your viral load is incredibly low until a point that that basically the viral load increases exponentially, called the viral bloom. That doesn't take place until over 2 weeks after initial transmission of the virus. So it's very, very difficult to transmit HIV during that initial time period. And during that time, we weed out anybody who might have been infected in that time. And that's why this is an incredibly reliable system.
So what's probably easier to explain and less confusing, but the window and eclipse periods are obviously really important, is that what we've actually done is, because we are incredibly committed to our workers' safety and health. So we actually have a team of researchers that are doing a mathematical model calculation on how effective HIV testing, the way that we do it, is in preventing HIV. And what they have found is that it is at least as effective, but most likely more effective than the use of condoms, for the simple fact that, obviously, as Ella pointed out, if we can, because of the short window periods, we're able to detect the viral load so quickly, should it happen, that we're able to get people on treatment and obviously have them, you know, shown as unavailable while that viral load is infectious, if that makes sense.
Right. And so that's what happens. So basically, people have to show up to the set with a negative HIV test and negative tests for these other STIs. And if they don't have that test, producers can go into the system and we'll simply see them as listed as unavailable. And unavailable could mean their test has expired. Unavailable could mean they need to retest, or they got a test that was inconclusive. So it doesn't necessarily reveal that they're positive for any particular thing. It just says unavailable.
Exactly. So what we had in the beginning, when we first created the testing protocols, or when the performers first created the testing protocols, I should say, we had a medical foundation called AIM. Unfortunately, that database was at some point hacked. So what we created afterwards is a HIPAA-compliant and privacy-protecting system, which basically means nobody's medical information is out there, and it's nobody's legal name is linked to their performer name. So mm-hmm. should anybody ever get into the database, which hasn't happened, then there is no information that they would find that would enable them to basically harass or follow or stalk or anything else, those horrible things, our workers and performers. So it's a very, very good system.
And Ella, you've been in for 7 years. Have you ever contracted an STI?
I never have, actually. I've done well over 200 scenes, and I've never in my life contracted an STI.
Because I think that's the other thing that I was struck by when I was reading the actual legislation, is that there are these assertions made kind of in the beginning, which is just like this is a public health crisis. Everyone who works in adult has an STI and gets an STI, and the rates are alarming, and, you know, like all of this stuff that's just not backed up by research or actual numbers.
Absolutely.
How did that make it into there?
Well, it's very easy to attack a marginalized, stigmatized population. It's easy to attack sex workers. We live in a puritanical society that vilifies sex and the people who perform it and enjoy it vocally. And so it's easy to point the finger at us and make false claims because people buy it. I mean, of course, they assume that if you have a lot of sex, you're going to be riddled with STIs, because the general population doesn't understand the extent of our testing protocol. They don't understand that it's not good business to contract an STI. If you contract an STI, you're not working, and if you're not working, you're not making money to feed your family and pay your bills. So, I mean, most people in the adult industry, if not everyone that I've met, feels far safer having sex with somebody in the industry who's tested without a condom than anybody they meet in the general population.
Right, because it's a sort of random bar hookup can't show you their test.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And condoms fail. And that's the truth of the matter.
So what if a person actually, a performer wants to use condoms or does use condoms in their scenes? Like, for example, Wicked Pictures is all condom. Why are so many condom performers and even condom companies, you know, that shoot condom-only porn also against Prop 60?
Well, they understand the risk that Prop 60 imposes on the stakeholders of the industry. They understand that if this passes, even if you're using condoms in the scene, even if you're a company like Wicked who only shoots porn with condoms, if someone can isolate a single frame from a production where the condom isn't apparent, then they can file a complaint with OSHA. And if OSHA dismisses it as frivolous or irrelevant, or if they simply don't have time to get to it, then those people can go forward with the lawsuit no matter how valid it may be, or invalid in this case. So mm-hmm. It's in everybody's bad interest. It's going to be harmful to everybody in porn, every single person.
And I think it also tackles the general perception that, oh, condoms and porn is not a thing that happens. As you rightly pointed out, Tristan, there's numerous companies that are condom only. But in general, also, we have to note that the industry is not against condoms, but the industry is for making sure that performers have autonomy over their bodies and that they have the right to control what goes on. And I think in that, seeing that condom only companies are actively supporting performers in fighting back against Prop 60, we see a great unity in this industry of we are all concerned for each other's safety and well-being.
Right, right. Okay, we've got to take another break. But I wanted people to know that because this is not in opposition to condoms. I think that's part of the thing that people do know. There's plenty of condom performers who are against Prop 60. So I want folks to know that. Okay. We are going to take another break. We will continue this conversation about the adult industry and how Proposition 60 can harm it really devastating ways. So we'll be back with Eric and Ella in just a few minutes.
stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with just two of the many, many, many people involved in the campaign for California to vote no on Proposition 60. Eric Paul Loya is the director, executive director of Free Speech Coalition, which is an adult industry trade association. And Ella Darling is a performer, an entrepreneur, and also the president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. So picking up on what we just talked about, I think obviously people need to sort of educate themselves about this, right? And I feel like this is a thing very particular to California, which is like there's so many propositions on the ballot that like once you get there, if you're voting in person, it can just feel really overwhelming. But how would you guys suggest if someone listened to this and said, oh, my sister, lover, mother, whoever lives in California, knows nothing about this, I want to explain it to them. How would you guys tell civilians, non-industry people, to explain it to other civilians who know nothing about porn?
I would tell them to advise their friend, their hypothetical family member or friend.
Loved one, yeah.
Yeah. Very simply, that it does not protect the people it purports to help, and it will cost the state and taxpayers a very, very large amount of money to achieve very little except to give one man and one organization a lot of money and power.
And I add anything, Eric? Yeah.
I think I would add to that and say the vast majority of the workers that are affected by this are actively campaigning against Proposition 60. And if in an election year as contentious as this one, the California Democratic, Republican, and Libertarian Party, plus over 100 advocacy, health, civil rights organizations, as well as political clubs and local parties, all agree and unite against Proposition 60, it should tell us as voters a very clear and loud message that says, vote no on 60.
You could sum it up as easily as just listen to whatever party you belong to, listen to what they have to say on the matter, because every single one is in opposition to Prop 60.
Right. And so let's talk about the consequences of Prop 60, because obviously, like, we have to think of the worst case scenario. If Prop 60 passes, what does that mean for the porn industry? And some of this, you know, happened in LA County when Measure B was passed. So we're already seeing the effects of it. But lay that out for me, either one of you. What will happen if this passes?
Well, there will be, to a degree, a mass exodus of professionals and performers, mostly, I would imagine, to Vegas, which is a bit more welcoming to the work that we do.
Although still not legal, and just to be clear, still not legal in Vegas. They're just not prosecuting.
Right.
Can I correct that?
Oh yeah.
There's more to that.
There's two states in the United States that specifically protect the production of adult film under their state constitution. There is no state in the United States that specifically makes it illegal. So that's the nuance. But
okay, great. Yes. Good.
Yeah, so it's not actually illegal. It's and there are companies who have started producing there, and it's become a viable satellite part of the industry. And so a lot of people are going to move to Vegas. A lot of companies are going to move to Vegas. But this is something that requires some amount of privilege to be able to do. I mean, not everybody can pick up and leave the state. People own property. People have dependents and children in school and loved ones who have to stay here, or their spouses have jobs that can't simply be uprooted. And so there are going to be a lot of people who simply lose the opportunity to work, or the work that they're offered is only going to be unregulated underground operations that that could be more harmful than what we have right now and could actually put people at risk.
Yeah, because the other thing that regular people may not know is that companies pull permits with the county that they're shooting in, and that's how it registers that there's a shoot happening. And one of the ways that people have been addressing Measure B and condoms, mandatory condoms in LA County, is by shooting still in other counties, but some are shooting still in LA County and they're just not permitting, which means it's not on the books, and that makes it actually less safe for sex workers.
Absolutely.
I mean, Eric, you talked about this study that came out that says 40% of Californians are for it and 40 are against it and 20% are undecided. Uh-huh. Does that scare you?
Actually, I'll say that considering what a grassroots campaign and heavily underfunded campaign we have run in comparison to the pro Prop 60 side, I actually look very hopeful into the future. We have the initial polls on Proposition 60 were 70% in support. About a month ago, the LA Times released an article that said 53% in support. Now it says only 40% in support. And the no side has continuously grown. So I think it really takes a village in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that as we work together and as we, the informed voters, approach another two people that may not have heard about it every day, we get to educate a lot of folks. So we really look for your help, for the help of the listeners, to spread the message on hashtag NoProp60. Visit www.stop60.com and really listen to the workers, because they are the ones that this will affect and they are the ones that say no. And I think that united we stand, divided we fall. And the power in this is really that the workers are the movement.
Mm-hmm. And do you agree, Ella?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen so much unity come about as a result of this. I've seen the industry really come out and join together and raise their voices against this. And we can only reach so far. We only have so much, so many people who listen to us. So the best thing you can do is boost the signal here. Allow us to be heard. AHF wants to speak for us. You don't help a marginalized population by speaking for them. You help them by allowing them to speak for themselves and making them be heard. And that's what we need. Tell someone, tell California voters, anybody you know in California, tell them to vote no on this.
Thanks to both of you so much for this. And like I said, yeah, I think even non-California residents, you know someone in California and you can get this message to them. Thanks so much to both of you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Eric Paul Loya is the executive director of the Adult Industry Trade Association Free Speech Coalition and also the No on Proposition 60 campaign manager. Ella Darling is the co-founder and face of VRTube.xxx, an adult performer, an activist, and the president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. Again, to find out more about Prop 60, you can go to the website stop60.com. You can also go to freespeechcoalition.com. Follow Free Speech Coalition on Twitter at FSCArmy and at VoteNoProp60. as well as following the social media hashtag NoProp60 for more on Ella Darling, because while she's fighting this fight, she's also making great porn. Go to cam4.com/VR and follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Ella Darling, and Ella has one L. Hey, I want to just shout out to my amazing show sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, and remind you that every week they have free sex education classes in their stores nationwide. The ones that are coming up in Chicago, October 26th, Energetic Sex with Antoinette. November 9th, Impact Play, Spanking, Flogging, and More with Andrea, Renee, and Tanya. In Los Angeles, in West Hollywood, October 26th, Blowjobs and Beyond with Chris and Michelle. And November 2nd, How to Drive a Vulva with the illustrious Allison Moon, the best ever. November 9th, Impact Play, Spanking, Flogging, and More with Carly and Michelle. And then in New York at the Upper East Side location, October 26th, Introducing Toys and Porn into the Bedroom with Laura Delorado. November 2nd, Bend Over Boyfriend, Anal Pleasure for Him with Denise and Nico. November 9th, Head of the Class, Blowjobs 201 with Brandon B. I hung out with Brandon B. at She in New York City, and he was giving some amazing blowjob tips when we did the Sexpert panel. So Brandon B. is like the go-to guy for advanced blowjobs. All the classes are from 8 to 10 p.m., and all of them, again, are free. Go to pleasurechest.com, and if you scroll down on the homepage, you can see the workshop. You can link right to the workshops in all the different stores. And I just want to thank the Pleasure Chest for being an awesome supporter of this show, and they continue to be, and I just love them for that. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America who's been so patient with me while I had to just take a little break. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Mackenzie Elizabeth Peck, who's the editor of Math Magazine. When I first got an email from Math Magazine, I thought, math, like calculus, like algebra? I think I'm the wrong demographic here. Why am I even on this list? But actually, Math Magazine is a new kind of smut magazine that happens to be called Math. And we're going to talk all about it next week. We've got some fabulous guests coming up in the next few months that you definitely, definitely want to check out. Until then, you can get me on facebook.com/AskTristan. You can get me on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio and at Tristan Taramino. I'm on Instagram now, and I'm loving it, and I'm posting really cool pictures, and that's also at Tristan Taramino. And in the meantime, until you hear from me again, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.